Coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, near Branson, Missouri, with our guest again, all the way from Israel, Rabbi Moshe Moses. Moses is with us today. Right. That's a very common name in Israel.
Not so much anymore.
Not so much anymore. Yeah. Maybe most of the people that I know that are named that are like 40 years old and over.
Right.
Maybe.
The new Israelis want to name their kids like, you know, tree or sheep or like... They're going for like these really like super ultra modern names, you know, like wind.
We've talked a little bit about how we have Baptists and Methodists, and we've got Pentecostals, and so what have you got?
what have we got?
Tell us. Help us understand the Jewish world.
You know, it's funny. There's a famous Jewish joke. There's a famous Jewish joke about this guy that's on an island, and they finally rescue him, and they ask him, how did you survive? And he shows them around the island, and then he shows them two buildings. They said, what are those two buildings for? He said, oh, they're my synagogues. Said, why do you have two synagogues? He said, because that's the synagogue I go to, and that's the one I would never step foot in. And every Jew knows that joke. And then the other day, I heard a pastor tell the same joke about his congregation. I was like, you know, he was like, there was a Christian that was on a deserted island, and he had two buildings. So that's a church I go to. And I was like, you can't steal that joke from us. That's our joke. So, you know, there's a, you know, famous line, two Jews, three opinions. So we have a lot of variety in our community. You know, there's Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, Reconstructionist, and within each of those movements, there are sub-movements within the Orthodox. There's the ultra-Orthodox, the modern Orthodox, the liberal Orthodox. It's never-ending.
All right.
Basically, I consider myself a centrist. A centrist is someone in the center.
Uh-huh. And means, so you were...
Anyone who's in the center... Well, everyone thinks they're a centrist.
They all think they're a centrist. Yes, I see.
I'm always in the middle. Everyone else is an extremist.
You would describe yourself as Orthodox.
I'm an Orthodox rabbi. That's correct.
And you have a kippah
That's right, a yarmulke. It's a knitted kippah.
Uh-huh.
You know, Orthodox, basically very simple. Orthodox Jews believe every word of the Bible is true. Every word, every letter, every syllable of the Bible is from God. Not just divinely inspired, but every letter, every word is true. The conservative Jews, well, let's go easier. Reform Jews basically do not believe that. They do not believe that the word of the Bible is true. And it's a Jewish cultural book, but not the truth. The conservative are somewhere in the middle. Conservative Jews, it's with a capital C. They believe that the Bible is divinely inspired, but not every word, every letter is divine and truth. But I'm an Orthodox rabbi, so I come in that first category.
All right. Now, for every Hebrew letter, it's a number.
That's right. It's called a gematria.
Gematria.
Correct.
And words can be connected by their numbers.
That's right.
How does that work?
Well, every word, like, for example, the name of God, which has the letters Yud, He, Vav, He, equals 26. The letter Yud is 10, the letter He is 5, the letter Vav is 6, and the last He is also 5, so it equals 26. So that number 26 is an important Jewish number, and it'll come up in other places as well. Like the name Yehuda, which is for Jew, is very similar numerically with one slight difference, because people are, you know, there's a differentiation there. But the words have numbers, and the numbers mean things.
And also in the words. Now, I'm just a baby student, but one of the main things to me is this root system, and that every Hebrew word comes from a root, and basically most of the time that root is three consonants, and that the words that come out from it, like a spoke on a wheel, that's the hub, the root. Like, for instance, from the same family, you have Amen, which is may this prayer come true. Then you have what it takes to make a prayer come true. You have Emunah, which is faith. And you have Yamin, which is the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that. It's right
That's
hand,
right.
but right hand of God.
Right.
And so to me, it is just absolutely fascinating to see this language. That you believe that God created the earth with this language?
Right, that we believe when it says there are 10 times where it says, and God said, let there be light, and God said, over and over in the book of Genesis. So the world was created with 10 sayings. That's in Hebrew, it's called, it says, Be'asara ma'amarot. Ma'amar means a saying, which is interesting because...
So, and God said is a
God
saying,
said,
and God
exactly.
said is another one, and there are 10 of
right.
them.
And Breishit, in the beginning God created, is considered one of the 10 also, but there's 10 of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Aseret HaDibrot, which is the 10 commandments. But the word Dibrot does not mean commandment. Dibrot means
words.
Sayings or words,
sayings.
Like Davar uh-huh. is saying. Ledaber is to speak. So you have the world created in 10 sayings, and the parallel are the 10 commandments,
mm-hmm.
which are also the 10 sayings from God. The world's created through the word.
Now, let me ask you this. This is just my own personal
yeah.
question.
Yeah.
It looks to me when I'm reading in Genesis
mm-hmm.
that God said, "Let there." We translate it, "Let there be light."
Mm-hmm.
But he said, "Yehi or."
Mm-hmm.
And then it looks to me when I read that the thing is, yehi or, that the answer is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there was light. It seems to me it's the very same words. Is it not? I don't know. I'm asking you. This is a Hebrew student.
It is, but the word or doesn't really mean light. If you look, the sun and the moon are not created until the fourth
no,
day.
No, that's right.
So or means a spiritual type of light.
That's what
so we,
I think.
Yeah, so that's what we
it's
have
God.
To... God. Right. He or, and let there be light. So the Jewish understanding of that verse is that it was a divine light that was separated. It says, Vayavdel Elokim bein or uvein achoshech. God separated between the light and the darkness. And the Jewish understanding of that text has always been that God has put aside this light for the righteous, either in the world to come or to reveal in this world through acts of kindness and goodness. And bringing when we bring God into this world, we are revealing the light of God into the world. And the choshech is not just physical darkness, but it's the absence of the divine. And that's the
right,
separation.
We agree. I think we
right.
agree.
I think
exactly
it's a beautiful
on that.
Idea.
Darkness and light.
Right.
We absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I want to move this a little bit political, as I told you
yeah.
that I wanted to do. And not political in that I'm not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I am not a this or a that. But I do believe you have to go exactly by the word of God. And I believe that if you bless Israel, you're blessed. And if you curse Israel, you're cursed. And when I'm trying to get people to understand, and when I'm teaching about God's great plan to bring the Jews home, a succinct place that it is Jeremiah 30 and 31.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says here, for lo, the days come, Jeremiah 30, verse 3, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. I see that as the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom.
Right.
They're coming, all coming back. Israel, and I think some people call it the lost tribes, but of course they're not lost to God. But Israel and Judah, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. That's very plain.
Mm-hmm.
We have 19 pages of the scriptures where God says the same thing, that he's going to bring the Jews home. They're going to possess the land forever. Now, when you go down to verse 10, it says... therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Now, my understanding of why he calls the Jews Jacob is this. My understanding is very limited to the Jewish. But Abraham had another son. Sons. Isaac had another son. But Jacob, all of his sons are Israel. And so I see that if he wants to talk about the Jews, he'll often call them Jacob. He doesn't call them Abraham. He calls them Jacob.
Right.
Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee. And then we go down to verse 16. Mm-hmm. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. And the end of verse 19, I will punish all that oppress them. So when the Jews are in diaspora, and that word spora is a seed word sown out among the nations, then how those nations treat the Jews who are to be a witness to them that of the reality of God, the nations are held responsible for it. And there is a thing called the judgment of the nations. In the New Testament, we have Jesus and the judgment of the nations in the 25th chapter of Matthew, where he's deciding what nations will go into the millennium. And those who have treated Israel well will go into the millennium. Those who have not will never be heard of again. Nations as nations. This is a judgment of the nations. Now, in the cup of judgment, the Bible speaks about cups of joy, but there's cups of judgment as well. And God says to Israel in the last, he says, behold, and this is Isaiah 51:22. He says that I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, the judgment cup, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no more drink it again, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to your soul, bow down that we may go over you. You have laid your body to the ground. And then the Lord says, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. This is in Zechariah 12:2. Unto all the people round about when they shall be in siege against Judah and Jerusalem. In that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. Even if every nation on the whole earth comes against Israel because God brings them home to Jerusalem, then God is against them. So one of the things that I see, I'm not political in a party, but I am in an issue. I'm like a one-issue person. I believe that the issue is, are you going to help the United States of America bless Israel? Because your economy is in that. You bless Israel, your economy's blessed. You curse Israel, your economy's cursed. So in that coming back, and I'm taking up most of the time right now, but I see that in the coming back, and what we need to do right here in America in our elections, I'm not for one person, not against another person. God can cause even people to turn around in one day. But it is very necessary for us to make sure that our leaders bless Israel so that the United States of America can be blessed. Do you see that in 1 minute or less?
Yes. Yes. I think it has to be primary, and a person's thinking is, does a candidate reflect what I believe? When the person is in the White House, if I believe, and as we believe, that Israel belongs to the Jewish people, and we have to have the return, and has to be supported by the Gentile world, and we want to have leaders that reflect that as well, as far as guaranteeing Israel security, as far as helping Israel in whatever way the United States can. Look, Israel is the best ally of the United States.
Absolutely.
India has failed us. Europe has failed us. Israel is an open democracy just like the United States is.
And we're going to come back to this tomorrow. We will start with this tomorrow. This is Billy Brim, and this is Rabbi Moshe, and we are offering to you this week, a very important book for you to understand, this week and last, a very important book for you to understand is The Mountains of Israel. It explains that what the world calls the West Bank is what God calls the Mountains of Israel. And so just call us at 1-800-972-3447 or go on billybrim.org. This is Billy Brim and Rabbi Moshe saying shalom, shalom till tomorrow.